Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Rob Aller, Bill Rabinowitz, and Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of the Buckeye Extra Football Podcast, a pregame edition as we look ahead and break down and preview Ohio State's Big Ten opener against Wisconsin on Saturday. The Buckeyes are 3-0, the Badgers are 2-1. This one doesn't quite have the luster that it once had after Wisconsin dropped one of its non-conference games to Washington State. Nonetheless, it'll be a pretty good, I think, measurement of Ohio State's progress, because Wisconsin, as Ryan Day said on Tuesday, is the epitome of a Big Ten football team.
Well, all year we heard Ohio State talking about toughness. Well, you'll get a dose of that today or on Saturday. Well, I mean, that's what Wisconsin's known for. They're going to try to just batter you. And we thought that's what Notre Dame would try to do. And you know, they tried to some extent, but they weren't real successful in terms of running the ball consistently. We know Wisconsin's going to try to do that, and we'll see if they're successful. Ohio State's been very good against the run this year, but they haven't played anyone like Braylon Allen so far. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm dubbing this one not the tortoise and the hare, but the tortoise and the air. It's going to be Ohio State throwing the ball, the speed of the Buckeyes versus, you know, tailback. It's really tailback you, isn't it? Wisconsin, trying to run the ball. I think he averages 111. Braden?
Brown, yeah.
Yeah, 111. I would expect Ohio State to hold him probably under his average. That's my prediction, depending on how many carries he gets. But yeah, it's a great little matchup in terms of, as Bill said, power versus, I don't want to say finesse, but compared to Wisconsin, everybody's probably a little bit of finesse.
Well, we'll see. I mean, Ryan Day said that Graham Mertz is, you know, Wisconsin throwing the ball more than ever. And I looked at the stats and I think he threw 31 times against Washington State and the teens the other time. So it's not like they're throwing it 40 times a game. I think Ohio State would be more than happy to let Graham Mertz try to throw for 400 and keep up with CJ Stroud. I think Ohio State would be more than happy to be in a shootout with Wisconsin.
I also found it interesting that Ryan Day said this is the best quarterback we'll have faced,
which says a lot about the others. Daquan Finn was now
exactly that's what I'm saying. I thought the Toledo, all things considered, Toledo gave him more fits than this kid will. And I know Notre Dame, he's out and that, but I guess Mertz is better than that guy, maybe.
Well, he's got more experience. It's his third year as a starter, and but, you know, he came in as a highly touted guy. His first game was really good. Everyone thought, oh, Wisconsin's finally got a, you know, kind of a quote-unquote franchise quarterback, and they're not going to have to run it 50 times a game. And then it's kind of went after that. And, you know, who knows? I mean, he could have the game of his life, and they could challenge Ohio State. But I don't think this is a great matchup for Wisconsin.
It does feel like a cruel twist of fate for Wisconsin that you spend all these years with, I think, pretty safe to say, game managers at quarterback, and you finally go out on the recruiting trail and you bring in a top 100 quarterback recruit, and more or less he turns out to be a bust or not maybe as high as his recruiting ranking had pegged him, because they've always been fairly one-dimensional. But the exception of Russell Wilson when he came as a grad transfer in that one season about a decade ago. But other than that, they've had rather pedestrian quarterbacks, and this was supposed to be the program elevator, and it really hasn't elevated since 19. I mean, Wisconsin, when they played Ohio State in that Big Ten title game 3 years ago, was probably as good as they've been in recent years. They had a lead over Ohio State at halftime. It's an interesting what-if theory if they had held on to win that game, what happens to both programs, but it hasn't really. I think their trajectory has not continued since then. If anything, they've backslid a little bit in the Big Ten West. They've had third place and second place finishes since then.
Well, the West is a juggernaut, as we all know.
Yeah. Two G's? Is there two G's in juggernaut?
It's spelled N-O-T at the end, though.
Yeah, juggernaut. What about the rest of the league? I mean, you've got Wisconsin. Are they middle of the pack? What do you guys think? Where do you think the Badgers come in?
I still think they could win the West. I mean, I think Braylon Allen's as good a running back as there is in the Big Ten, and that may be enough to push you to a West Division title. Minnesota, though, as Mo Ibrahim and as Ohio State fans probably remember, he was pretty good in that season opener last year before he went out with an injury and was done for the year. But I think the fact that Wisconsin has Braylon Allen gives them a chance certainly to win that division. I know, Bill, you said that not a great matchup for Wisconsin. I don't really think it especially is either because I don't think they can score enough. But I mean, the blueprint for beating Ohio State, Michigan laid it out pretty clearly last November. It's to gash Ohio State's front seven, and Braylon Allen does seem like a guy who could gash him up front.
Yeah, I would say there's two ways traditionally over the last 5 years to compete against Ohio State, and that's to have the incredible quarterback who kind of like Toledo's, a guy that's pretty slippery, but could also throw the ball. And then, as you said, Joey, just kind of gash him. We haven't seen that. I mean, what Michigan did was, well, I guess it's what Oregon did too, but what happened to him twice last year, he really hadn't seen in a while. But it seems like they've always struggled with these kind of scrambling quarterbacks a little bit. I know Indiana gave them a game. Guys have given them some, decent games. I just don't think this guy, Wisconsin's QB, is that guy.
No, he's not. He's not. I mean, honestly, the way that Wisconsin wins this game is they win the turnover battle. They get a couple picks. They get some cheap scores, or they goal line stand. Something kind of fluky has to happen. Now, they're, I think, a 19-point underdog, I think, is what I saw today. I mean, that's bigger than the Notre Dame spread. I wouldn't be surprised if Wisconsin kept it closer than that because they're a solid team. But do they have the weapons on offense? They've got young receivers, or at least new receivers, and their offensive line doesn't strike me as being, having that kind of stud up front that they've had at different times. I mean, it's a good offensive line, but look, they scored 14 against Washington State at home. I just don't think that's, and you can throw out New Mexico State and Illinois State. I mean, that's like, I mean, that's not even, shouldn't even count in terms of meaning for this game. And so, I just think Ohio State's got too many athletes all over the field for Wisconsin.
New Mexico State, I looked it up on ESPN's FBI metric. They are that analytics service has them as the worst FBS team. So,
So I was right, Joey. Is that what you're saying?
you were right not to overestimate or underestimate the New Mexico State Aggies.
Now, this will certainly be a test for Ohio State's run defense. They haven't faced anyone like this. I mean, Notre Dame was without its best lineman against Ohio State, first game of the year. Toledo didn't really try. Arkansas State really didn't try. So we'll see. Yeah, I'm sure that Wisconsin watched that Michigan game tape from last year and tried to find everything they could. And it's up to Ohio State to prove that they are truly better. But I think you would agree, this just looks and feels like a different, tougher Ohio State defense than we saw last year.
I think the issue for a lot of the teams that have played Ohio State, if you want to play ball control, milk clock, these long sustaining drives that could go on for 6 minutes or so, you really have to either lead early or have it within a one score game or tied up. Because as soon as these teams like Toledo, you fall behind. Ohio State scored every time it had the ball in the first half. You feel like you have to keep pace. And it was like Michigan State last year when they came to the Horseshoe. They had a running game and Kenneth Walker, but they couldn't really establish the run early. You get behind Ohio State's explosive offense, and you feel you're down multiple scores, and you have to keep pace, and you throw the ball, and you're not going to be able to go toe-to-toe with C.J. Stroud and all the weapons Ohio State has in the passing game. What made Michigan unique last year was Ohio State kind of squandered some opportunities in the red zone, kicked some field goals, wasn't able to get ahead to an early lead. Michigan has the lead, and they don't have to really change that approach too much. That's why it will be interesting. Ohio State so rarely elects to receive Would they consider doing that again this week or just going forward? Because I think it does put the other team on their heels quite a bit.
Well, they won't have a choice if Wisconsin chooses heads, as Toledo should have done, because it always comes up heads.
That's just one of the dumber things you ever said.
I'll go to the mat on that one, that you always choose heads. I don't understand why people don't. I mean, the coin is a little heavier on that side. There have been studies. And so that's just...
Do you really go on there?
Yeah, I'm going there. I think we can all agree, we're sure that Wisconsin will be completely intimidated by the Wear Black campaign. I'm just curious whether that is a command, Wear Black. There's almost like a finger wag at the fans here. Wear Black. How much do you think they caught that cost? That little campaign came. Who came up with that?
They'll probably make more in selling of black jerseys than they will in the cost of promoting the black jerseys.
Well, that's for sure. That's for sure. I thought Wear the Black would have been good. Wear THE capital. Yeah. Wear the Black. Now that's got a little something to it. This is where we're at with this team. We're nitpicking and talking about what colors are going to be wearing and coin flips.
Because does it bother you that they're going to wear black?
No, not. I mean, I'm kind of past that. I think here's what I do think. Vaughn Broadnax, who former fullback, he tweeted out that he thinks it just feels more subdued in the stadium. I would agree. There's only been one of these, right? They called it a blackout back when
Michigan State was a blackout in 19.
Yeah, whenever they did it, I just didn't. It was an energy sapper, and that's what he said. He said he didn't like it because it just sort of subdues the whole night and the crowd. It's a takeoff on the whiteout Penn State, which does work. And the black just kind of didn't, in my view. The uniforms, I think, are kind of cool. Now, I know there are a lot of people out there, the traditionalists. I had a couple people text me, email me. This is stupid. Our colors are scarlet and gray and blah, blah, blah. You know, well, that ship has sailed, people. I mean, we basically need to adjust and get used to it. And of all their unis, I do kind of like the black ones better than some of those throwback retro ones they did that looked just totally goofy.
That one against Michigan that one year was that red. It was like the 1942 jerseys or something like that.
Yeah.
That's one of those. If you lose in those uniforms, you have to like burn them.
Are you talking about the ones they wore in 16 or the ones?
It was early. It was one of those ones where during the Rich Rod or Hoke era when it was pretty clear Oz was going to win. I mean, it was, you know, one of those years. And they just came out. For some reason, I think it was like, I don't know, 9 or 11 or something. I don't know, whatever year it was. Not 11 or 10 or 12, whatever. It was back a while ago. And I just remember thinking, if they lose in these uniforms, they'll never hear the end of it.
Bill, you said it. This is done for pretty much one reason, to sell jerseys.
The players like it too, I think. The ones I think are the ones I'll get the most grumpy about or get off my porch about, I think, are the ones they wore against Michigan, where they wore the normal jerseys and they had the black matte helmets. Where you have Curtis Samuel has that famous photo where his arms are extended, he scores the winning touchdown, and he's wearing just not an iconic Ohio State helmet. That one always bugs me.
This is more. I guarantee more people care about this than they do about Wisconsin's defensive line. That's
probably true.
The world we live in now. But I kind of like the black. I don't like the blackout in the crowd. We'll just leave it at that.
That's where you draw the line.
Yes.
Calling tails.
You'll see, Bill Rabinowitz. You will see.
Are you going to wear black, Rob?
I always wear black. It's thinning. I need all the help I can get. Bill laughs.
I should wear dark.
Bill has a dark black here lately. Wow!
Was that called for?
That was.
Hold on, I have to give me a couple minutes. I have to go cry and then come back and.
You're fine. You're fine. You're a hockey. You're thin and trim on all your hockey workout stuff.
Yeah, I wish. Anyway,
you attempt to segue out of this?
Yeah, I don't think there is a good segue. Let's just dive back into
hockey. That. Hockey, Wisconsin.
There you go. The Blue Jackets started training camp today. Is that what you want to talk about? The Blue Jackets?
No, absolutely not. No one wants to hear that either.
Patrick Laine got a buzz cut, supposedly.
Okay. Yeah. Bill's done.
They were gonna have a coin flip to start.
What's our predictions, Joey? Let's keep it to football.
I haven't done mine yet.
Oh. Well, you got like a couple hours.
Okay.
I had 45. I think I had 45-21.
That's high scoring.
Yeah, We seem to forget there was this game against Wisconsin in 2014 that was kind of high scoring. So I'm sure the same things were said then, and that was in the championship game, and it was a disaster for the Badgers. So it's not like there's a guarantee that this is going to be a close game, that they're going to come out and show up. I think we know Ohio State will show up. I'm not sure Wisconsin shows up. We'll see.
I mean, that was a different Wisconsin coaching staff than they have now with Paul Christ. And I think most importantly, like Jim Leonard is the defensive coordinator there. I think him being one of the better coordinators in the league, I think that's a good test for Ryan Day. I mean, he's one of the few that have kept them from scoring 40 points. I mean, Wisconsin's one of the few teams that Ohio State just hasn't annihilated at least once since Ryan Day's been there. I mean, Penn State's kind of the other where Brent Pry was the defensive coordinator there for a while, and feels like all the Ohio State, Penn State games they've still scored in the 30s. I think the same holds true for Wisconsin, or they're in the 30s. So I had 35-17 Buckeyes.
Yeah, well, like I said, I haven't done mine, but they haven't played since 19. It was 38-7 in October. This game was close.
I think Rob was talking about 2014. He was alluding to
this. No, I know, but you said they haven't in the day era. Well, they've only played them in 2019 in the day era.
I'm talking about when Day was the offensive coordinator in 17, too.
Okay.
That's the chess match. Ryan Day, Jim Leonard.
Yeah, I get it. Look, Jim Leonard is very good, but again, it's the Jimmies and Joes, as they say. It's you give me the best players, and I'll take my chances. And I don't think Ryan Day is going to be out schemed by Jim Leonard. He does a good job, but you have to have the players. I don't know that Wisconsin has the players to hang with Ohio State. I remember Jackson Smith and Jigba's back now. Julian Fleming's back. We assume Trayvon Henderson will be back. If that's the case, then I just don't see it. I don't have a score. I mean, I'll think about that, but I would think in the low 40s would be reasonable.
Do they even need those guys, Bill? They scored 77 without them for the most part.
Yeah, they need them because they're on Toledo. Jeez. Come on.
I still picked Ohio State to win, Bill. I didn't insult Ryan.
No, I know. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying it's not like
going down the gauntlet there.
It's not like Leonard's kind of consistently kept Ohio State in the 20s. They haven't, first of all, played.
No, but they haven't scored like 50 or 60 points, which they've done just about against everybody else in the league.
Well, I think that Wisconsin is going to shorten the game to some degree. I mean, I don't think it's, they're not going to have 2-minute drives like some teams, do by design. I mean, they're going to try to have 15 play 80-yard drives that chew up 9 minutes. Whether they can do that or not is another question. I think it's interesting that Jim Knowles, when he was asked about, do you play three linebackers this week? Or actually, I'm not sure he was even asked that, but he certainly gave the indication that he was going to stick with his base 4-2-5. He figures that his linebackers in front four can handle it and with some help with the safeties. But if, Joey pointed out that the last time Ohio State played them, Justin Hilliard was a fourth linebacker. They put a 4-4-3. And I don't know that they need to do that, but I just thought, that would be something that I would think Jim Knowles might consider doing.
Yeah, this whole thing's funny, right? I mean, Denzel Burke gets beat, and no one seems to be all that nervous. If this was Kerry Combs' defense, pass defense, they'd be ready to run him out. Pass defense wise, right? I mean, right. 21 points, Toledo. Oh, this is a disaster. And now it's Jim Knowles, and that was just a little hiccup, and everything's nothing to see here. That's football.
Well, I think one of the reasons maybe there's less panic among the fan base, in some ways, I think Jim Knowles owned it. I mean, I think he said they didn't play well. I feel like there's a recognition that things need to improve. It's not a case where they're just trying to explain away mediocrity.
Oh, I agree with that. He takes the blame. He right. doesn't throw players under the bus at all. I'm not saying who's better or whatever. I think Jim Knowles is really good, but yeah. I just think it's just the dynamic of fandom and how things work from year to year. You make a change, and even if there's not a lot of difference, there's sort of this assumption that it's improved as long as the numbers back it up, and they do.
Yeah, he seemed to, when he talked about taking the blame, as far as the scrambling plays that Daquan Finn made in that game last Saturday, he thought maybe they needed to do a better job in preparation for a scrambling quarterback. They didn't put like a wide receiver or a running back as a scout team quarterback to just try to replicate that. So it was interesting to hear him talk about maybe some things they should have done better in preparation.
Yep.
And the other thing is, you know, it's Denzel Burke we're talking about. He does have a history. Last year he was really good. I don't think he suddenly lost his ability. Cornerbacks don't get a lot of chances, and so when they are beaten and don't look good on a play, those are magnified. They don't get, 20, 30 runs a game like a defensive tackle does. They get a few. And the one he got beat on last week was a jump ball when he let the guy basically box him out and didn't make the play. But it doesn't seem like a systemic or a schematic deficiency. It just, on that particular play, he didn't make the play. And so if this continues for another game or two, then you start to say, okay, what's going on here? But he's got a track record, and people like that, players like that, get the benefit of the doubt.
I think what's revealing too is Jim Knowles, when he's talking about some of those explosive plays they've given up, which includes Denzel Burke, there seems to be almost an acceptance that those are going to come. And he's framed it a little bit as a trade-off, where if you're going to bring a ton of pressure and blitz a lot and as much as they do, you're going to leave corners like Denzel Burke on an island in a lot of one-on-one situations, maybe with not as much help. And that's why they've given up some of those big plays. I mean, they've given up three passing plays of 50 yards or more. So overall, three games. Not a lot of teams have done that this year. That's
let's face it. He has the ability to risk, because he's got an offense on. He's got an Ohio State offense that's going to put points on the board. So you can, and he knew that. He probably knew that when he came here. He can take some risks and do all that. I mean, if Jim, how does Jim Knowles' defense work in a place where, name a school?
Iowa.
Well, okay. Name another school, wherever. I just, he found success at Oklahoma State. They scored a lot of points, and he's finding success here, and he's scared. It just fits. It's a good fit because they can do the risk. As Joey said, he owns and talks about taking these chunk plays. And you can give up two or three of them or however many when your offense is scoring 77 and 50 and 45.
Well, I think they want him to take risks, and they want this defense to take their shots and chances, because more often than not, it's probably going to result in negative plays. It's probably going to result in getting off the field on third down and over the long haul. That matters more for Ohio State is finding a way to get the defense off the field and the offense back on the field. It was, I think, one of the more revealing Q&As that we've had this year is when Jim Knowles was asked about what he thinks about a bend, don't break defense. And in short, he doesn't think much of it. He doesn't want to be gashed and really bend for 50, 60, 70 yards over a long period of time. What they want to do is get the ball back as quickly as possible. And if that means maybe every once in a while you give up a big play, I think you deal with it, because more often than not, you're going to be able to generate some backfield havoc and generate some turnovers.
Yeah, that I agree with you, Joey. That of all the interviews we've had with Jim Knowles since he was hired, that one stands out the most to me. I think he'd almost rather give up a bunch of 75-yard not a bunch, but a couple 75-yard plays and have several three and outs than have a couple of long drives. I mean, again, they want to extend the game, not shorten it. And if you get that offense on the field by any means necessary, I mean, no, I'm not saying they're like, you know, run and gun basketball team that plays no defense, but they just don't want that ding, ding, ding down the field. And you look up and half the quarter's gone. That's what they don't want.
Well, the magic number, he says, is five. Five explosive plays or less, you win. That's what he's found over his career, which includes stops at Oklahoma State and Duke. And he says at Ohio State, the magic number might be seven with this offense.
What does he consider explosive play? 15, 20, or 10?
I'm not sure that he's ever defined it. Generally,
it's going to be a good question to get clarified.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, beat guys.
Generally, it's, you know, what, 15 yards for a run and 25 for a pass. I mean, that's kind of, you know, give or take a little bit.
Yeah, that's what you see on stat broadcasts when they'll pop up under that category, explosive or big plays. That's how they often define it. 20 feels about right to me.
Yeah, certainly for a run. But their run defense against running backs, again, Daquan Finn had a couple of runs. I think the Notre Dame quarterback had a couple. I think even the Arkansas State quarterback. The running back, just their standard run plays, have not done much against Ohio State. Those guys have been really good. And remember, last week, Ohio State did not have Michael Hall Jr., who's certainly been their most dynamic defensive lineman. I think JT Tua Moloau has been really good. Jack Sawyer certainly, you know, showed up last week. I think Zach Harrison's been solid, and I really think the linebackers. I mean, Tommy Eichenberg's played very well. Steel Chambers, you notice, you know, he had the hit last week that just like shot out of a cannon, and so you know, their front. I guess it's the front six. Is that what you should call them? The front six. They've been very good.
Yeah, those two guys you mentioned, Mike Hall and Tommy Eichenberg, those are their two leaders in TFLs. Those are the guys who've been in the backfield a lot. I think it'll be important, obviously, for them to get Mike Hall back for this one, because if you're playing a Wisconsin, it feels like a Mike Hall game. You want to have your top interior defensive lineman available. And
what's the word on him?
Well, I asked Knowles, and Knowles said, they tell me he's ready to go or something like that. So, I mean, I think what they want to do against Wisconsin is just get them, you know, as they say, off schedule, create a tackle for loss that makes it second and long or third and long. And that's what they want to do. They just don't want to give up. They don't want it to be second and four all the time. They want to, you know, be able to get in situations where they can rush Mertz and take Wisconsin out of its running game.
It feels like if it's a third and long, and Graham Mertz needs to pick up 8 yards through the air, that's when they can really tee off and send linebackers blitzing and drop defensive ends and do a bunch of intricate stuff. That feels like a chance to really tee off on a quarterback. And somebody like that, especially where he's not good. I mean, last week they ran into some trouble with blitzing because Daquan Finn was able to wiggle his way out of a lot of those and extend plays. I don't think it's really the case with Graham Mertz or any Wisconsin quarterback.
Well, I think the most curious thing is Bill started out with it, maybe, or maybe it was you, Joey, just this power run game against Ohio State's defense. I mean, Michigan took it to them, and we'll see what Wisconsin can do. That's about, I'm with Bill, that's really the only way the tide turns in this one, is if somehow this becomes sort of a Michigan redux. I don't expect that. But
or Oregon redux.
Well, that too. Yeah. Oh, redux. Okay. Yeah. All right, Dad Joker. What else we got?
I don't have anything else. I think we've
covered. That was it. That was your highlight?
That
do
was
you think,
it.
Do you think we'll see the I formation or a fullback dive again?
Hope so. Anything different is good. I just can't wait for Paul Christ's comments afterward, good or bad. Paul Christ.
You know, I've talked to the Wisconsin beat writers. And they say that away from that setting, he's actually quite engaging and funny and loose and all that stuff. It's He's does a good job of hiding it when he's
at the old bunker. He's pretty flatline, but
yeah.
That's what Colton Bartholomew said from the Wisconsin State Journal. He was on the podcast earlier this week. So if you want to get more of a lowdown on the Badgers, make sure to get back.
There you go. Good.
Yeah.
Listen to that one. Which was interesting to me to hear him talk about it. There's a fair bit of pressure on Paul Chris right now. They're not happy with the last 2 years.
Well, they shouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, they've had some personalities. Barry Alvarez, Bielema.
Oh, Alvarez is great.
And Bielema. And then you go Paul Christ. Well, wait a minute. They had the guy that left was there for like a cup of coffee. Who was Anderson. That?
Gary Anderson, who went to Oregon State.
Went to Oregon
quit
State.
Mid-year at Oregon State. His career trajectory certainly taken a turn or dip.
Yeah, how was he as a talker?
I don't remember.
It was short-lived. But Paul Christ looks like he's just the dairy farmer out in the field milking the cows, and you go out and ask him a question, he kind of just grunts and gives you just a monosyllable response. So that's Paul Christ. Good for him. Good Wisconsin guy, I think.
Yeah, it certainly looks like and sounds like the Wisconsin coach.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. Love Paul Christ. Love him.
The Big Ten did this video series where they interviewed all the coaches in the league. Who would you want to play in a movie? And Paul Christ then cracked me up because he said they wouldn't make a movie about me.
Yeah, I don't know who it'd be. John Goodman, but he'd have to tone it down a lot.
Not bad. All right.
Well, on that note, thanks for stopping by and listening to the Buckeye Extra Football Podcast as we preview Ohio State's week 4 game against the Badgers, primetime. 3 out of 4 games this year have been under the lights at Ohio Stadium. So if you are of that variety where you like to spend all day in the parking lots or watching football and having some beverages, hope you enjoy your Saturday. And thanks for stopping by and listening.
Big heads.
Big heads, Rob says.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.